Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. If this is the first time you are joining us to worship, welcome. Please take a moment to complete our online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. And before we begin our worship this morning, let me share with you two highlights at Koinonia this week. Have you ever wondered, when we are surrounded by so many good restaurants in Vancouver, when you can get sushi, bubble tea, or pineapple bun at almost every corner at downtown Richmond, why we as Christians still pray the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread? So join us the next 6 weeks to find out why. In 2021, we still have much to learn about the prayer that Jesus prayed and taught 2,000 years ago. Do you know that Koinonia is just 10 weeks away from our reopening? As we will be worshiping in a new location, have you wondered how things might look different? And if you have been serving in one of the ministry team before, have you ever wondered what things will be still the same? In order to answer all these questions, the pastoral team has organized a Zoom session today at 11:20 a.m. right after the Sunday service, called Ministry Team Recruitment Day. During the session, you have a chance to learn about an overview of the different ministry team and how serving will be like in the new setting. Plus, you also have an opportunity to join different big out rooms over Zoom and learn about how different teams will be functioning. And of course, we'll share with you how you can join and serve together in the fall. So all you need to do is join the Zoom meeting with the Zoom ID provided and look forward to see you at the Ministry Team Recruitment Day at 11:20 a.m. later after this worship. Just a few weeks ago, at the message call Into the Jordan, Pastor Carson has shared with us the great news that our church will reopen in the fall. And today, Pastor Carson will be building on the Jordan message and share on the topic, Before Jericho. Facing an impossible battle, how would God lead His people into victory? And what can we learn from the Jericho story as Koinonia continue to prepare for the reopening? As we prepare ourselves to praise God and receive His word, let me invite you to stand and declare His name together. Dear God, as we gather to worship this morning, we declare that You are the Alpha, You are the Omega, You are the bright morning star, and You are the Lord of glory. Dear Jesus, as we gather this morning, help us to focus on You, because there is power in the name of Jesus, and nothing, yes, nothing, can overcome the power of Your name. Amen.
Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is Yours. Heaven and earth bow down in the wonder of Your name. Heaven is open, death is broken, and the glory forever is Yours. Nothing can overcome the power of Your name. King above kings, all the universe will sing. Everlasting God, You are wonderful. You are wonderful. And the shout of the earth will be Your praise. God forever and the light unto all will be Your wonderful name. For the glory, Lord, is Yours. God forever and the glory, Lord, is Yours.
Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is Yours. Heaven and earth bow down in the wonder of Your name. Death is broken, and the glory forever is yours. Nothing can overcome the power of your name. King above kings, all the universe will sing. Everlasting God, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. And the shout of the earth will be your praise. A king seated among us, let every heart receive him now. Where there is praise, he will inhabit. There will be grace and mercy all around. Every burden will be lifted in his presence. Every trophy will be laid down at his feet. There is a name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. To the Lamb, honor and glory, worthy is he who overcame. Buried in shame, risen in power, he is alive, the stone is rolled away. Keys. There is a name
be long. We will behold him, and every tear he'll wipe away. We'll be at home, the war will be over. Soon we will meet a Savior face to face. And every burden will be lifted in His presence. Every trophy will be laid down at His feet. There is a name that reigns above all others. Jesus Christ, the King above all. Will belong to you forever. Holy, holy, for all eternity. Yours is the name that reigns above all others. Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do.
God reigns.
In our uncertainties, who should we turn to? You, God. Almighty and powerful God, you are our strength, our shield, and our rock. You are the one that we should turn to. And we praise you in our weaknesses. Let us praise you in our uncertainties, and let us focus our eyes on you as we prepare ourselves to receive your message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please be seated.
It's the third day since you have lodged beside the Jordan River. The sound of the rushing water makes this an uncomfortable place to sleep in. Besides, today is a special day, so you couldn't really sleep well yesterday. You wake up well before the sunrise and you look at the reflection in your bronze metal mirror and you tell yourself, today is different. Because you feel this intensity and eager expectation that something is going to happen today. For the past few days, you and the others have been busy offering sacrifices, burnt offerings, and all sorts of animals. And as a priest, you were told to consecrate yourself. You fasted intermittently and you didn't see your wife for the past 3 days. The whole nation is preparing to move across the Jordan River, supposedly. How are we able to do that, you thought to yourself. You wonder, is it going to be like the Red Sea story? Will Joshua raise his staff? Is he going to pray? Or are we offering sacrifices beside the river? Or will the pillar of cloud, is that going to return? And you wonder to yourself as you wash your hands and you wash your body one more time, you put on your priestly garments. Your father taught you to put this on. He has always told you to put it on carefully. Do this in an exact manner because you were in a special position. After getting dressed up, you walked out of your tent. The sun is barely up, but many of your fellow priests were up already. You lifted your eyes across this dusty, gray, bluish plains. You see the shadow of that massive city, Jericho, just laying there silent, sleeping perhaps. Palm trees in front and beside, and behind it some cliffs and mountains to cover it. It's quite ominous looking. And of course, there's that massive river that runs in front of you that never seems to run out of water. And you look at the right side and you try to find the beginning of that river. And you think to yourself, where does that even come from? You're not particularly educated in geography or landmarks around here. After meeting a few of your brothers and your priests, you make your way to the center of the camp where the tabernacle is. And you can feel the tension rising as you walk across each tent. Because they were unusually quiet and silent. You can see people and hear people packing, getting ready, packing up their tents and belongings. And you were told by an officer to carry the ark from the tabernacle and go before the camp to the edge of the river. You were surprised because you and the priest don't usually carry the ark. The Kohathites usually do. But you realize this is no ordinary march. This is a special day. And so you arrived at the tabernacle and you talk to the other Levites and the priests and you coordinate the logistics of packing up the tabernacle. You have done this multiple times before, but again, this is a special day, so your hands are sweating and you're nervous. You and the other priests washed their hands, offered the sacrifice at the altar, and entered into the holy tabernacle. You and your brothers from Aaron's house was in charge of the Ark of the Covenant, as always. The instruction is to take down the veil from the tabernacle and cover the Ark with it. Be careful to not look at the Ark directly, you reminded yourself. And then you would put goatskin on top of the Ark, and you would put a blue cloth over the Ark. Lastly, you would bring the poles through the holes that's on the side of the Ark, and you would carry the Ark by the shoulder. Every time you come in here, your heart races and pounds, and you remind yourself, make sure not to look at the Ark, make sure not to look at the Ark, and make sure not to touch the Ark. Work with precision, extreme care. You have been taught ever since a young age that the Ark is not to be messed with. It is the most holy of items. The Ark is basically a container containing two tablets of stones that Moses received from God himself. God promised to the nations that he would meet with Moses and the priest at the Ark. He would speak here. This is where God is. And so after covering the Ark, putting the holes through the side, you and the three other priests washed their hands again. And after coordinating with each other, the four of you carry the Ark by the pole. You are on the back at this time. You place the pole by your shoulder and you begin to march out from the tabernacle. You don't usually carry the Ark and you never realize just how heavy and solid this is. It shouldn't really be this heavy. It's really just a box made of wood and there's gold covering around it. And it's not a particularly big item. It's just a box that's 1 meter wide and long and tall approximately. And it really only has two tablets of stone inside, but wow, is it heavy. And so you exit the tabernacle and you realize the sun is up already. When you lift open the veil, the sun is shining directly into the entrance of the tabernacle, reflecting of all the surface of the gold and from the Ark, and it almost blinds you. And so you have to shut your eyes for a bit, and as you walk out of the court, you see all the brothers and the families of the Israelites kneeling outside of their camps and their tents. And your leader, Joshua, is here as well. And you hear him say this, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. And so the four of you march out toward the west of the camp. And as you pass through each of the camps, you see that everyone in the nation has stopped what they're doing, all kneeling by their tents. This is the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence, the nation is instructed to bow before God when he moves. And as you're walking, and as you're walking, you're quiet and silent, and a million thoughts are going on through your mind. You wonder to yourself, what is God going to do? How do we cross this river? And why is the Ark going first now? The Ark has always been in the center of the camp, but this time it goes out first. And you remember, right, before we have the pillar of cloud, but now it's no more. And as you go closer to the river, the sound of the rushing waves get louder and louder, and you see this muddy, swirling flood that seems to be more frightening and intimidating than you thought it would be. Maybe it's the snowmelt from the nearby mountain or the rain from a few days ago, and you thought to yourself, this is definitely not swimmable. Maybe for the few spies that we sent earlier, they could swim over, but not all the nation of couple of hundreds and thousands of people. There are families and children and elderly in there. And besides, even if it's swimmable, what if the people from Jericho just came out and fought us there? What if they just shoot arrows and throw stones at us as we're crossing the river? We would be swimming ducks, not sitting ducks, you thought to yourself. And you and the priests and the Levites arrived by the river, and you rest there while the rest of the nation march closer, because you are instructed to go ahead first. You lead the way. And shortly when Joshua and the people arrive, he gathered the whole nation together and he spoke. come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And you thought to yourself, here we go, here is our strategy. What is God going to do? Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. And you thought to yourself, God is among us. Here we go. Your adrenaline is up now. Your heart is pumping. You know, these Canaanites are the next enemies that you have to defeat. And you ask yourself, how are we going to cross the river? How are we going to cross the river? Are we going to make a boat? Are we going to make a ship? Are we going to build a bridge? Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribe of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. And you hear that? That's you. You look at that river, that never-ending void of water and flood. You look at what you're holding on to, the ark. You're going first, and you look at your feet. You look at your fellow priests. Nobody said anything. The Jordan will be cut off when we stand. The water shall stand like the Red Sea. You heard of it, but you never experienced anything like that. And your feelings are so mixed. On one hand, you're excited, your heart is pumping. God is really among us. But on the other, you thought to yourself, you are a pragmatic, down-to-earth person. The currents are so strong. How do we stand there, especially with the ark? And how is the water going to stand? Like a wind, like mudslide? And is it just going to be that simple? We're just going to stand there? You don't need to do sacrifices? No festival, no prayer? Just stand, that's it? Is that really what God told Joshua? And as the message gets passed on from tribe to tribe, it was oddly quiet. Perhaps the nation is feeling the same mixed thoughts and emotions and questions that you had. Anyway, this is no time to back off now. You are the priest, you can't back off. You represent God before the people. And all of a sudden, you feel the ark being moved forward. Well, it must be your fellow brothers carrying the ark feel the same way as well. And they are moving toward the river now. And as you march toward the river, time seems to get slower and slower. Your feet felt heavier. The air seems to be thicker. The sun behind you stronger. And you know the whole nation behind you is watching the four of you. Everybody solemn in a quiet stare. The only thing you hear is the roar of the river, like a thousand or millions of horses rushing down. And you still hear that golden ring of the ark hitting against the pole. And as you continue on the march, your feet and your robe is getting wet and you feel the mist on your face. And in no time, you all arrive by the river. The brother carrying the pole in front of you hesitated slightly. He lifted his feet and lowered it onto the rushing water, and you thought to yourself, this is it. One foot in, nothing happened. They found their footing. The other foot went in. Nothing happened. The water is still going. Your turn. You waited and you were reluctant, but you can't back out now. They're already in it. And so you looked at the fellow priest beside you, both carrying the pole, and you nodded to each other. One foot in, it's very muddy. Your foot sank a few inches, and you lifted your last foot off the ground. You lowered it to the river, and you feel the bottom of your feet touching the muddy river, and you rested your foot to the mud below the water, and the four of you just stood there and froze, and time stopped. Is anything happening? You thought to yourself, and you certainly don't want to move. You guys dare not to move or look at each other. And after a few seconds, you hear some quiet rumbling behind you and around you. And it seems that the roar of the river quieted down like a horse slowing down. The water that was hitting your leg and your knee is more gentle now all of a sudden. And so you look to the right and you can't really make out what it is, but something is holding up the water far away. The water is just standing. And so the remaining of the water subsided and the water level grew lower and lower and lower and lower until you see your feet appear from below the water again. And all of a sudden you're just standing on mud and the sun is hitting your feet. And you dare not to move or to breathe too loudly. Your eyes glued to the standing water on the right side, and you're afraid that any movement will cause the water to crumble down again. Your heart almost stopped beating. And at the same time, you hear the thousands of people of Israel behind you marching towards you. And you hear the rumble and the sound of their footsteps. But they are just quiet, oddly quiet. Maybe they are afraid too that their sound would break the stillness of the water as well. Or maybe they're just in as much shock as you are. And so you and the other priests just stood there, still like the water on your right, while all the people passed beside you and around you, tribe by tribe, family by family, and your knees and your legs and your arms are growing stiffer and stiffer and tired and shaking, struggling to hold up. But you dare not to move a hair until you hear a command. And it must have been a few hours standing there, and now you're pretty much glued to the ground like a statue. And you see the last family members of Israel helped up the river. And the whole nation of Israel now stood on the other side, just looking at you. They're shell-shocked. And you hear Joshua's voice, "Come up out of the Jordan." And you feel the ark moving, and you feel your blood traveling to your arms and your legs again. And you can barely hold your footing because it's gotten so numb. The four of you carry the ark, slowly march to the other side, and you get faster and faster. The closer you get to the shore, the faster you all went. The two brothers in front of you stepped onto the shore. You took your first step and you can't wait to get your other leg up to the shore because you're afraid that the water is going to crumble back and wash you away. And as soon as your foot stepped onto the shore, you hear the breaking of the water on your right side. The water crumbled down like sand and began storming back at you. It sounded like thousands and millions of horses rushing towards us. The sound is so deafening, especially being still for so long. And everybody took a step back into the shore, made way for the ark to return to the front. And you quickly stole a glance back. The river is back to normal. Did this really happen? You asked yourself, did we really just cross that river? Is God really present with us in this ark that we're carrying? And you look at this ark. And you ask, was God really this close to us? And you look in front of you, there it is, the city of Jericho, even more massive now and intimidating that you got closer. And it's almost shining because the sun's reflection. And you thought to yourself, there's no retreat now. The river's behind you, the wall's in front of you. This is a new chapter, new history. In a new era. And so it's been a few days since crossing the river. You woke up early in the morning once again, much like a few days ago. You washed yourself, go out of your tent, and you received once again the command to take up the ark. The city of Jericho has been shut up ever since you crossed over the river, and you heard from spies their reports that the city was afraid. They were terrified. So they're not willing to open, not willing to engage, but not willing to surrender. And you go to the tabernacle and you carry the ark again. And this is what Joshua said to you guys. Take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. Go forward, march around the city and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. March around the city. You thought to yourself. Joshua must have been thinking for a while now about a strategy to attack the city, but marching around the city is the strategy? The whole army and seven priests and us going around the city, isn't that dangerous? Can't they just throw things at us from the city wall? And how long is it going to march around this huge city? Like 1 hour, 2 hours? And what exactly is that going to accomplish? You have your doubts, but after going through that river, you know you believe what Joshua says. and you know and you believe for the fact that God is with you in this ark that you're carrying, because this is no ordinary army. This is no ordinary strategy. This is going to be something supernatural. And so the army and the seven priests and you come to the foot of the city. Joshua told the priest to blow the ram's horn trumpet, and you hear this loud, resonant voice coming out of those seven trumpets. But Joshua said, make sure you don't say a word until his command again. And so you did. Your heart is pumping. You wonder what will happen, and you march around the city, and you look at the city wall. Man, is it high. It's fortified, almost impenetrable. You can't find any other entrances. There are no cracks, no doors other than the front. And strangely, after going through it halfway, you don't see any attack or ambush. But Joshua also didn't tell you to shout either. And he told the whole nation to go back to the camp. And you thought to yourself, aren't we supposed to shout? Aren't we supposed to attack? But no further command was given the whole day and the whole night. The second day you did the same thing. But no talking, no shouting, no fighting, nothing happened, just walked. The third day, same thing, and now it's really getting warm under the heat. The fourth day, you're starting to feel the weight of the ark and you're getting weary. And the fifth day, you thought to yourself, what exactly are we doing here? And you thought about asking Joshua, but you know better. The sixth day, you're just completely lost. You don't know why you're doing this. You don't know why you're here. The city hasn't gotten any weaker, has it? Why do we have to do this march? And are we going to shout? What's our strategy? We haven't strategized at all. The seventh day, you take up the ark with your brothers, and the whole nation prepares themselves for another march once again. And you can really feel the atmosphere dwindling, the excitement and the energy and the morale vanishing as you march around the city yet again. And so you go around the city until something different happened. After going through it once, Joshua quietly signals for the army to go around it another time. Then another, and you told yourself, something is different today. This is the day. Something is special. What is the plan? And you can feel the morale rising and people standing taller as they march around every single time. Expectations are bubbling and brewing. You remember, okay, we're supposed to shout. Shout and attack. Do we go from the front and the back? On the side, climb up. Do we drop down? What is the plan? I'm still carrying the ark. Do I go back? What is the plan? What's the plan? And by the seventh time, Joshua turned around to the army, stopped the trumpets, and he said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. You hesitated for a bit. Your questions are still unanswered. How are we fighting the city? But you hear the long blast of the ram's horn trumpet before you, and it's deafening to your ears, and the whole nation responded with a roar, and it's deafening, and the ark is shaking, you are shaking, your heart is shaking, maybe by all the sound that's coming up from the army. Or is there an earthquake? You look around, is there an earthquake? It seems that everyone is shaking, everything is shaking. And you look to the left at the wall. There's smoke, there's dust coming out of the wall of the city, and the wall is crumbling. The wall is crumbling like sand, like a landslide, a mudslide. The wall of Jericho fell, and the army let out a roar and marched on toward the city, and you're just standing there, and you're stunned, and you cannot believe what just happened. And for a moment, you realize how special your position is. And you cannot believe this simple thing that you have done led to something so supernatural. And you look at the ark that you're still holding on to, and you thought to yourself, God is really here. A month ago, we held a special worship service called Into the Jordan, where we laid out the church plan for reopening in-person worship services. And today, we continue the story, and I brought us through an imagination of what I thought the Israelite priest was going through as they were crossing the Jordan River and the battle at Jericho. Because when I was studying these passages, I can't help but notice how much God involves his priests in particular in this work. Because remember, he could have just split the Red Sea. He could have just asked Joshua to raise his wand or staff. But he specifically calls his people, his priests, and he works through the priest. And you see, these priests are really in a special position. Not everybody gets to be a priest. Only a special group of people. They are an honorable position. They're in an honorable position because they carry God's presence and they intercede and they represent God before the people and they represent people before God. And at the same time, you'll realize how simple their act is, what the simple task they're doing. Specifically in this instance, God really calls them to stand. Just stand in the Jordan. Must have been like a few hours. Just march around the city. Just do some cardio and exercise. How boring and how tiring it must have been, or even mundane and simple. But through these things, God does something supernatural. The water stood and the wall fell. Special position, doing simple tasks, leading to supernatural results. And in the exact same way today, as we prepare to go across our Jordan River, our Jericho, God calls his servants so that we can be in this special position, doing simple tasks and letting God do supernatural things. God calls to himself a team of priests to serve. And you may think to yourself, ah, Carson, you're just exaggerating. You're just sugarcoating volunteering. That's what I call it, volunteering and helping out. Let me tell you a few stories of this. And maybe you will rethink, it's not just volunteering, it's not just helping out. One of the examples, our serving teams before the pandemic was site team. One of their primary tasks is to move our equipment from our storage to the gathering venue each week, and they have to transport all that through a truck. Simple task. And I remember there are instances in the winter where supposedly the truck got a cold or something. The truck just would not start. And this was a huge problem, as you can imagine, because all of our equipment was still on that truck. The service was dependent on whether the truck would start or not. And the site team members tried everything. They tried batteries, they tried jump starting, and the truck just wouldn't cooperate. And so in desperation, they prayed, and they said to themselves, we'll pray for the truck, and we'll start it one last time, and if it still doesn't work, we're going to wave the white flag. And you're not going to believe it. They prayed for the truck. They prayed for a machinery. And you won't believe it, the truck started immediately after they prayed. Special position. Simple task, supernatural things happen. Very similar story happened to our production teams, our audio, our video, our presentation teams. There were multiple times when this projector, this little fellow over here, just wouldn't start for some reason. It wouldn't connect to the computers, nothing working. And I remember I was in one of those services, I was panicking. It was maybe like 5 or 10 minutes before the worship starts, and we'll start still trying to troubleshoot this. Nothing's working. And we said, hey, somebody reminded me, maybe we should pray for it. Okay, we'll pray for the machine. We rebooted it one more time and it worked. And we ended up just delaying the service for 5 minutes. Simple task, supernatural results. In our children and youth ministry, I shared with you this story before. Our teacher and our leaders are really doing simple tasks each week, not simple in a good way. They're really just teaching the Bible, leading games, discussion. There was this child, after attending our programs, he talked to his parents, and he offered up a tenth of his past 4 years of red pocket money because he realized how God has provided for their household. This is a supernatural act. You don't just get a child to donate a tenth of their red pocket money. Simple task, supernatural results. And these are only a few of the stories because when you see all the teams and the priests, they come together, the site team and the production team setting up, the music, children, youth, hosting the programs, the hospitality and parking, greeting the people. When we do these simple things, putting up chairs, playing music, connecting cables and welcoming people, God does supernatural things. We have heard of countless stories of how people encounter God in service. They come in and they immediately cry during the service. Even some of our movers that we employed in the past, one of our movers shared this experience and he said he was curious and he walked into the service and he started crying. And ever since then, he was attending the service whenever he could. Our congregation members would also share how God speaks to them through a message. There was a member, a brother, shared with me in the English group. He shared with me how for a period of time, every single week when he came, he felt like God was speaking to him directly about an issue that he was having. And he asked me, did I like communicate with the pastors? Did I like do something in the back, in the secret? I said, I didn't. It's all God. One couple in our church felt God spoke to them to a point where they downsized their home so that they could live more generously. Can you imagine that? And maybe you're like me. Because of all these priests serving, doing their simple tasks, God has done a supernatural transformation in me. Once I was lost, but now I am found. I found a new hope, a new identity, a new purpose. So God today is calling servants and priests to serve in this special position, doing simple things that will bring supernatural results. And he's inviting us, inviting you, because he wants you to be involved. He wants you to know that God is with you. God is with this church. He's still working among us today. And so church, as we prepare for reopening, we would like to invite and extend the call to all of you to sign up to serve. Sign up to be a priest, to serve in this special position. And I want to take this time now to give you a brief introduction to some of our ministry teams. The first team is our traffic team. These will be the first people you see, and the first people and the last people you see when you come out. The primary responsibility of the traffic team is to greet people coming in, is to make sure they have a pleasant and safe experience driving into the parking lot and finding a parking space. And then at the entrance and inside the sanctuary, you will see the guest team. They're going to welcome you. They're going to check in your children. If they have a children program, they're going to guide you in the sanctuary and connect you with you and see if you need any information. And once you enter into the sanctuary, you're going to see a lot of videos and music playing. And all of these is set up by our production team, setting up the video, audio, and lighting equipment. And then just after a little bit, the worship's going to start and you're going to hear music playing. And obviously that is led by our music team. But all of these cannot happen without the site team. The site team prepares our venue and our equipment and sets up not only for the adult services, but also for our children and youth services. These servants, they lead the children and youth program. When you're worshiping, our next generation is worshiping as well and learning about God's word. And lastly, if there's any health emergencies in the room or in our sanctuaries or in our services, our first aid team would be there to assist and to provide support. And so these are the seven core ministry teams that will be deployed every Saturday when we reopen in our in-person gathering. And for the servants that have been with us before the pandemic, you will notice that there are some changes. And yes, there are some changes because there has been a lot of changes. We're trying to approach the reopening maybe with a new perspective and a new mindset. And so not all teams are an exact continuation of before, as you probably noticed. And that makes sense because we are in a new time. We're in a new location, a new venue, and we have new equipment. And because you also understand that not all servants from the past are available to serve in the same position or the same capacity. And so if you're a servant before and you would like to resume serving, we encourage you and we invite you to sign up once again. Each serving team now will be in a monthly rotation where each member will approximately serve for a month and then they will be off for a month. And this new system gives each team the most amount of stability, we believe, and the most amount of room for growth. And this will also mean smoother operation and better quality of service, especially for children and youth, because as you can imagine, they'll be seeing the same teacher or the leaders for 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And so because there are some new approaches to the serving system, we are hosting a ministry team info session about after the worship service today. And that's going to be held on Zoom. where you can find out more details about each serving team, what they do, what their requirements are, and how to sign up. If you have any questions, we strongly encourage you to attend this info session. If you have no question and you should get started, or you want to get started right away, we invite you to fill in a sign-up form to serve, and you can find that link at the end of the service. Church, you and I, we are all given an opportunity to be servants, to be in this very special position, to call to serve. We're called to serve. We're called to be in this special position, doing simple tasks that bring supernatural results. We're called to serve in this special, really special position, doing simple things every single week that brings supernatural results. And this happens because God is with us. And God is with us, and through us, He works because we carry His Holy Spirit, much like the ark. And so as we march on towards the reopening date, let us hold fast to this conviction that God is indeed with us. Let us be strong and courageous, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Church, let us fight this battle together. Let us stand together and march together. Let us go into the next chapter of this church together, with God guiding the front and the priests marching together in the middle after God, and bringing the good news to everybody around us. Let us stand and let us worship God as we march into the battle together.
You hear me when I call, you are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, He is a friend of mine. The God of is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall
I'm gonna
to see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. Impossible. Please help us to be strong and courageous, trusting in you, trusting in your strength, and trusting in your guidance. God, as the church is planning for reopening, we continue to ask you for your guidance and your providence. Please open the hearts of our brothers and sisters and prepare them to serve you. Prepare them as servants and as priests to serve you, and may we work in unity to bring the gospel to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, please remain standing. Let me bless you with the word of God. This blessing comes from the book of Joshua. Church, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to God's words. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated. Church, as I shared with you just earlier, we invite you to sign up to serve, and you can find the sign-up form on the QR code that's shown on the screen. We also strongly encourage you to join our ministry team info session, and you can find all the Zoom info on the screen. And how this is going to work in just a second, we're going to have two time slots. We're going to have an overview, and then we're going to have two time slots for three ministry teams each. And how this is going to work is you're going to come into the overview on Zoom, and then you're going to choose to attend to either one of the three ministry teams, and you're going to see and the ministry team leaders are going to explain to you what they do, what their requirements are, and what you can expect, and you can sign up to serve then. And in the second slot, you can choose to go to another ministry team. We'd love to share with you about what we do, and we'd love to meet you and answer any questions that you have. And personally, if you have any music background or interest, I invite you to come to our music team info session. I'd love to meet you there. Church, as we conclude our worship service, make sure you continue your worship through your offering. You can do so by heading to our website, mykc.ca, or you can scan a QR code and commit your offering through PayPal there. So that concludes our worship service. We'll see you next week.